Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, I'm Carter Hart. You're listening to Nasty Knuckles.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Regalia?
You know, back in the lab.
Back in the lab, trying to get some stuff done with Debo and Baller.
Yeah.
And with a guest this week.
Yeah.
Back on
looking
track.
Forward to it.
Yes, for sure.
And you recovered from a couple weeks ago, the big win.
Yeah, you know,
pins are recovered.
The parties were crazy. The parade was amazing. I couldn't believe the parade, but, you know, lots of people showed up for it, you know, right down Broad, so it was great.
Yeah, right.
I'm sad we don't have a game this weekend.
I know, me too.
Playing. Of course, not for you because you're never there, but, you know, for me, going to the games weekly.
Yeah, well, I don't have to travel over an hour and
here we go.
20 minutes every game.
Here we go. I guess we got to get you a limo now for the game.
Yeah, that would be nice. Or a chopper.
Sure, chopsy. Yeah,
pick me up, drop me off.
It's a good idea.
Be nice. We got to get Natty Lice to step up their game a little bit.
Yeah, no. The sponsor's got to jump in there for our men's league team.
They want us to win. You got to
pay
the boys
more.
The big bucks. So what's going on, Flyers?
It's been a struggle of late again. Obviously dropped six in a row, and it just, you know, it's like, and they've been getting leads, it seems like, you know, like scoring a couple goals, and just nothing's falling into place. I mean,
I just feel,
man, I know we say this all the time, it's like beating a dead horse here, but.
Oh, my God.
It's like they're in the game, you're like, oh, things are looking good, and it's like a second period is a just not.
Yeah, absolute disaster.
Skip the second period and get to the third, but it's just not been pretty, and dropped six in a row, and hopefully they get a win here this week. You know, you don't want to drop 10 straight three times in
no
one
way.
Year. I don't even know if that's a record. We were talking to Baller about that, and our statistician, stats they call him. I don't know if that's ever happened before, and I hope it does not happen.
No, not at all.
But it's just, I think, at this point, unfortunately, everybody's just, let's just get these games over with, you know, and just everybody clear their heads and see what happens, you know, see where everything falls. You know, I think if there are changes, they'll be probably fairly soon.
I would think
so. Season, and, you know, you don't want to ever see that, but just the way things are going, it's not pretty.
No, not at all.
And can't sugarcoat it.
Right. And when you think things can't get worse,
yeah,
somehow they have, with a couple more injuries. Yes. Obviously, Cam Atkinson, Carter Hart, a couple other bodies going down. Connaughton again.
Yeah, it's just
So it's tough when you're such a depleted team. Yeah. And again, obviously the morale has been down for some time now. So
for sure,
they've been out of a playoff spot for almost a month now.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it was pretty much
that,
before.
Yeah, it was
that,
before but official. Yes, officially.
I agree. Yeah, for sure.
But so it's a tough position to be in. Five games left, like you said.
Yeah.
Six games losing streak, and they got to squeeze out a win here.
Yeah, and I hope that. I think
or a couple
will.
Just yeah. to go out with the right vibe. But and as you mentioned, if there's going to be changes, I would think probably within the first week or
yeah,
two.
You would think.
Usually the way it works.
Yeah.
With management, anyways. But we will see.
Yes.
And some pretty devastating and sad news in Flyers land with our friends Sal Raffa and Jimmy McCrossin.
Yeah,
the news broke a couple days ago around a lawsuit that they're involved in with Comcast. You know, they have a very rare form of cancer now. You know, wish them the best in their healing because it doesn't matter how they got it.
Right.
You don't wish that on anybody, obviously. So there's, you know, they're in a legal battle. We don't know much about it. Not really our place to say anyways.
Prayers
but,
for them and their family. It's,
exactly. It's tough.
Terrible news. And I had kind of heard a little bit, you know, last summer, I think, but nothing was able to be said, I guess, you know, like legally or whatever, and hoping for the best, you know, with, you know, whatever they have to do for recovery and their treatments and stuff. But hopefully, you know, they're both find a way to be okay. I'm not a doctor. I don't know everything going on with it, but like you said, no matter how they got it, it's just sad news. It just you know, it puts hockey in perspective, you know, like
no doubt.
This game that we love and you played and I worked in and all these guys play, but man, it's just terrible news.
Yeah, real life.
Terrible news.
Real life stuff. So wish Jimmy and Sal the best. You know, in the recovery and everything else. Again, sad news.
Yep.
Prayers are with you.
Yep.
And on a positive note, one of the second last Flyers home games coming up this Sunday.
Yes.
We're going to be hosting a tailgate.
Whew.
Have a Tovey Sauce Challenge.
Yes. Oh, I hate that I'm going to win it. Oh, like that.
Giving away some swag, chance to win a Tovey stick. And have some fun.
Yeah, it's
shooting
be
the shit,
awesome.
Shooting some biscuits.
Everybody,
out.
Come out! It's gonna be beautiful.
Yeah,
81 degrees.
Yeah, exactly.
Riggs might lose the jurors for all you women out there. Be cruising around and abs. Just he's got like a 9-pack.
Well, I don't know about that. 9?
You don't need more?
Well,
you used to have 11? 6, but like you're even. Oh, 11? Is it 11 pack? Yeah. My bad. I don't know.
We're going odd numbers now.
No, we're doing. Well,
that
6,
token
9,
ab there 6, is floating
9?
Around.
What did
here?
I say? I don't know. I'm just kidding, but it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a perfect day, and those pesky Penguins are coming in. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, they're getting ready for their playoff run here.
Yeah.
But it'll be a great day.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. One of the first few days that we actually get out in the sun and actually tailgate for a Flyers game. So bring out the sauce kits, bring out the Tovies.
It's going to be
fire
fun.
Some biscuits. Have some fun.
So I'm going to park my car in the other parking lot.
Yeah,
when
it's probably
you start
smart.
Shooting.
Oh yeah, yeah, right. Like last time, we were using real pucks instead of the rubber ones that are bouncing and hitting cars.
Hitting cars.
And
like, I don't think people like that.
No,
too much.
No, we gotta readjust the game
fun.
Plan.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. Everybody, come out and join us. Be fun.
Absolutely. All right, Nast, episode 71.
You
ready?
Ready
to rock?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. Well, this episode is presented to you by our friends at Curaleaf. Curaleaf.com, medical marijuana dispensary. Check them out. Heal up. Manage pain. Sleep better, Nast.
Sleep.
And we're ready to rock. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week, we are so fortunate to have a good buddy of ours, number 79, Mr. Carter Hart. What's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, boys? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. How you making out? How's his rehab coming along?
It's good. I mean, obviously, kind of tough. Tough season, tough way to go out. I mean, it's unfortunate, kind of a fluky what happened, but it is what it is. I mean, at least I have time on my side to just kind of make it right and heal it the right way.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's a process for sure. And then I guess leading into the off season, you said you got time to rehab that, make sure it's 100%, and then get into your traditional off season, I guess, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, just want to make sure that it's 100% and ready to go, and have a good off season of training and prepare for a better year next year.
Absolutely. Talk a little about the season. I mean, obviously it hasn't gone the way anybody expected. Obviously there's a ton of injuries throughout and some adversity along the way. Just talk about like the season as it unfolded, coaching change, and how important it is to maintain the positive attitude no matter how much adversity you face.
Yeah, I mean, coming into this year, that way we made some good moves, some good additions, and started off well, and then I think just kind of got the injury bug a little bit. I don't think we've really played with a full lineup all year long besides maybe the first few games. So,
yeah,
I mean, that can be tough for any team. So a lot of moving parts this year with COVID-related stuff, injuries, coaching changes and all that. So there was a lot going on, but at the end of the day, we're the players. We need to go out and do a job every night. And I mean, the last little while has been tough. We haven't been our best, but I think it's a learning process. I mean, obviously it's not a very fun situation to be a part of sometimes, but at the end of the day, you still got to realize, like, be grateful for the opportunity to play in the NHL and make the most of it, and just learn from it so you're better going forward.
Yeah,
there's always fans, people that, you know, they're going to shit on you. Not you personally, but just on the team. But, like, you just can't overlook the injuries and the team's had this year. Like, and it's not, you know, just one guy at a time. It's been, obviously.
Flurries of them.
I mean, just guys going down left and right. So it just sucks that it happened, because I think everyone was pretty optimistic with the moves that were made, over the summer. You have had a really good year, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinion. But it's never fun when it's like this. I was on a few teams where we were, you're out of it with a month or so to go. And it's, you still play for pride and for each other, which I think the guys, all you guys are playing as hard as you can, even though some people are like, oh, they're not trying or whatever, but we know that's not the case. But, you have the summer to get better, which is nice. Have plenty of time, get home and do your rehab and then get ready for next year. I mean, it's all you can do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously I want to be out there with the boys for the last little stretch here. So it's just kind of unfortunate what happened and kind of a fluky situation, but it is what it is, and you just got to make sure you're healthy and ready to go.
Yeah. Sure. You've had a couple like funky last few years, right? I mean, you played half a season that your first year and then half of a season COVID. Last year, COVID. Yeah. I mean, it's been a little bit funky for you. You haven't really gotten to like
first full year,
yeah, right? It's pretty crazy. 4 years deep and first full year. So, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, first year was half a year, and then second year, COVID, first part of COVID. And then third year is a season because of COVID, no fans. And then this year's first full one.
So this is wild. It's hard to even wrap your head around. Coaster.
It is nuts. I almost forgot about the no fans thing. I don't know how I could forget that, but you're right. It has been a shit show for you, kind of. I mean, since you turned pro, but it's all going to get better. I have a good feeling for that.
100%.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
well. Yeah.
And you certainly got the right attitude just from knowing you. And learning about you hiring a sports psychologist at the age of 10, which is highly impressive. I mean, you got your head screwed on, right? So you seem to have like the proper formula for dealing with adversity and coming back stronger. So,
I'm just lucky to. I mean, my parents are awesome. I love my parents, my family. They're so supportive, and my friends and all the coaches and support staff that I've had, from trainers to equipment staff, one of the best in the biz.
Thanks,
I mean, so I've been lucky to have a lot of people on my side that support me, and I mean, I wouldn't be here without them. So I'm very, very lucky.
Yeah.
So when you were younger, you decided to play goal at 9, 10?
Yeah, 9 years old.
That's when you made that decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just kind of loved the gear, and I just that's what really attracted me to the position.
Yeah.
You got the coolest gear. I mean, you see the masks up here.
Yeah, right.
You do have great masks, that's for sure.
That's like the one thing that really attracted me to the position was you can actually customize your gear and kind of like express yourself a little bit.
That's awesome. I remember Hexy telling me when he was a kid, he knew he wanted to be goalie. He used to take up his socks and like ball him up, throw him up the steps, let him come down, and he would make a save. So I'm like, you know, I was telling him a few years ago, I'm like, Elvis really likes goofing off at home playing goalie. Now he's obviously playing goalie. But he goes, Deke, he goes, just take one of those hockey balls, outdoor balls, and fire it right off his melon. He'll never want to play again. Yeah. I'm like, I can't.
That didn't work.
He's like four, and plus it probably wouldn't even hurt him.
No, right?
So that's what my dad did when I first told him I wanted to play, because we would play like hockey in the basement. We had like nets set up in our basement, like from like end to end of the basement, and like we would just rip those like hard orange road hockey balls. And the one time I told him I wanted to go in net, he's like, "All right, sure, I'll rip a couple at you and see if you're good enough." And that first one, he hits me right in the dome, right between the eyes, right in the nose, and I'm leaking. Like I didn't flinch, I didn't cry, and he's like, "All right, maybe
sign him up."
Man, yeah. I would have been done right there. I can tell you that.
That's pretty cool.
Oh man,
I read somewhere that you, Carey Price was your favorite goalie growing up, and I know, you know, with all your mental health stuff or your mindset training, sports psychologist stuff, and Carey Price taking a step back this year because of preserving his mental health. I mean, can you talk to that a little bit and how important that component is, not just for sports, but just for people in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think mental health is above all one of the most important things. I mean, kudos to him. He's a very inspirational person, and not only just a hockey player, but as a person as well. And sometimes people forget that we're people first,
right,
rather than just hockey players.
Exactly.
So, I think you really got to learn to, you got to know how to take care of yourself, and that comes number one, and your family. And it's so awesome to see that he's back between the pipes.
Yeah.
And he hasn't missed a beat so far. So it's tremendous to see him back in on the ice again.
100%. I think it was a huge move for him to do that, you know, to actually take ownership of his own health and mental health. But to show, you know, young hockey players, or not even athletes, just anybody in general, that mental health is the most important thing. If you don't have that, you don't have a whole lot. And it doesn't matter how much money you're making or how much glory you have in your life, that sometimes you got to take a step back and deal with these issues. So I think it's just shown the hockey community specifically, but, you know, his network in Canada and everywhere else, that that's a bold step. It's a big move for someone to make of his stature, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we all respect him as a player in the league. And, I mean, he's been through a lot. And for him to go out and say that that he needed some help shows just how strong of a person he is. And now he's back on the ice doing the thing that he loves. And I mean, he's my favorite goalie, so yeah. I'm happy that he's back and I get to watch him again.
Yeah, 100%.
Play against him.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's awesome.
A snipe on the guy.
Riley's one goal, Carter. Yeah,
Carey Price.
Right by him. Peek up to the net. Yeah. We lost 5-2.
Yeah, I know. So still, I wasn't able to sell it.
He didn't even sell it. I'm like, dude, you scored on Carey Price, for fuck's sakes. Like, my God.
The meaningless goal.
It was your one, though.
Yeah, well.
So it's not meaningless.
At the time, I thought there was going to be more to come, but didn't exactly happen that way.
A lot more Tillys.
Yeah, well, that's
A
true.
A lot more Tillys.
That's true.
I was gonna ask you about being in Everett, your junior career. We were in Calgary. It was your last year junior, and John Paddock was coaching in junior. I think
Regina, right?
Yeah, too tall, and he had just played you guys the night before, and they were playing the Hitmen. So me and Ian LaPerrier went over to talk to him because we hadn't seen him obviously in a while. He used to coach here. He's actually assistant GM as well, and he started talking about you. He's like, this is what he said. And I'm trying to pump your tires here. But he was like, he goes, we played against Carter last night, and he's the real deal. That's what he was calling you, the real deal, which we think you are. We know you are. But your last 2 years, I mean, all your years, actually, your numbers are good. But, like, your last 2 years, look, you couldn't get scored on, man. Like, I don't know. I mean, there's not much you can say to that, but I'm just saying we were looking at the numbers, and I knew it at the time, too. I mean, I was obviously following everything you were doing, but it was just funny hearing Tuthal say, like, you don't think you're going to score on this guy, man. Like, he's the real deal.
That's funny. I remember he was coaching GM there for the Pats, and I was so close to getting traded there.
Really? Oh, really? Wow.
Because they had the Memorial Cup that year.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in my last season in Everett, and I loved playing there. It was so awesome. I had awesome teammates, awesome coaches. My billet Parker,
yes,
he's like my grandpa. My billet roommate Riley Sutter, who's in Hershey. Like, I was so lucky to play there for 4 years, and I miss every day.
Yeah.
Ranked with those boys and playing with those guys. And but I remember my last year, our GM at the time was Gary Davidson, who was an awesome man, a really smart hockey man. I'm very grateful for the things that he's given me there, playing for 4 years for that organization. But he brought me in. He told me, he's like, hey, like, I know our team's not looking so great right now. Like, if you want a chance to go somewhere and win or whatever, like, it's okay. Like, I told him, okay, like, I'll think about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to go anywhere.
Right.
I want to stay. And then there was something going on with the Pats and stuff, because they had the Memorial Cup that year. And then I just came back from mono, because I got mono during camp here.
Yeah.
So I missed, like, the first month and a half of season, and, like, we weren't doing well. And then I came back, and we're winning a bunch of games. I was like, oh, my God, like, we got a pretty good squad here. Like, we're winning a lot of games. We went from, like, last to first in the division, like, a month.
Wow.
And I told Gary, I'm like, man, I feel like we could actually do some damage here. Like, I want to stay if I can. Like, I love it here. Like, I want to stay. And we ended up going to the league finals that year. We lost in the finals, but we had a sick team and just probably one of the most fun teams I've played for. And we had so much fun together, and all the boys were awesome, and it was a – awesome year.
Yeah, it was fun following that, because I mean, like, we were talking about, the numbers were just insane.
Yeah.
Like, insane. But
I can see why John Paddock would want no question.
Exactly. And you turn pro, and you're in Lehigh Valley. Great setup there for an American League team. I like that building. And
yeah, it is.
It's so nice. But you got called up. Was that
18 games or so, right? You only played a couple handfuls of games down there, and
a couple months in there, it was like, I think for me, just the transition period from junior to pro. Like, people don't realize how big of a step that is.
Yeah,
like, I kind of came in a little bit thinking like, oh yeah, it's not going to be a big deal going from major junior to the American Hockey League, like, or the minor leagues, whatever.
Right. Like, it's what people think.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
hey, man, these guys are really good hockey players. Yeah. You don't realize how good the American Hockey League is. Like, there's some really good hockey players there. And I mean, you're going from playing with kids, essentially 16 to 19 and 20, to playing with grown men.
Right.
Yep. And like, they can rip the biscuit.
Execute.
And they're a lot faster and stronger. And for me, that took a little bit to kind of adjust. And I think that the couple months down there, 18, 20 games, whatever it was I think really crucial in my development, just to go down, learn the pro game, learn the pro lifestyle, coming to the rink every day, like, seeing some of those guys in their 30s, Colin McDonald, Chris Connors, all those guys come to the rink and see how hard they work, on and off the ice, staying late after practice, those habits. We had Scott Gordon as a coach at the time there. Just to see that, how hard they're working, to still try and get to that next level.
Yeah.
I think it was an eye-opener for me and really helped me going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just missed Riggs. He was an assistant coach.
Well, I caught the tail end. Like, my last year, you came out of juniors and played a few games.
Yeah, 18 or 19 there.
Yeah, so we actually did cross paths briefly there. And that's where I was, you know, I kind of brought it up earlier about the whole mindset thing and the sports psychologist, because that's the one thing that jumped out at me to me immediately with you, was just like how dialed in you were at a young age. You know, I look at some of the guys that I'd coached a few years before, and it's like you were light years ahead of them as far as like maturity and the way you're wired. So I did want to touch on that a little bit more, and just like I mentioned, like, the, you know, 10 years old, you got a sports psychologist, like how important that piece is, because you've seen these veteran players, you know, managing and maintaining their physical bodies. But I feel like the one component, you know, from a coach's perspective, and even going back to my playing days, that was, it's almost like ignored, or not ignored, but almost like we've kind of overlooked is the mind. And, you know, you see these guys have tons of talent that never find ways to make it, and it's the mind that their own worst enemy. Can you talk to that and how important that is for your game and how important it is for just performance in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think just in life as well, like, I think a good example for me is kind of the whole situation last year. Going into the season, obviously the year before, we were playing the bubble in the playoffs, and then so had some higher expectations going into last season. Wanted to do better. Then obviously things don't go your way. Shit kind of hits the fan. It's not a great year for myself, for our team. playing with no fans, not being able to have your family come down and see your friends or anybody. So that was kind of hard, and I just kind of started to focus on all the negativity and not focus on the things that are positive in my life and what I'm grateful for. And all the negativity started to overcloud my thinking and my mind, and during games, like, I'd be like, oh, like, kind of like, oh, here comes another 2-on-1 or something. Yeah. You know, like, where instead of coming in saying, oh, here's a 2-on-1, I'm ready for it. Like, mm-hmm. welcoming the challenge, right. instead of being afraid of the challenge. I think that's really important. And just being, like I said earlier, being grateful for everything that you have in your life.
Yeah.
Being grateful for that you're living your dream, playing in the NHL. Being grateful that you're coming to the rink with 20 of the other best players in the world and getting to work alongside them, and having a supportive family and friends that are behind you. And I think sometimes that can get lost in translation, but I think you really have to see that we're really lucky to play a game for a living.
Yeah.
That's true, man.
It's so true. And how much of that helps with, like, leading up to a game, just like being able to calm a nervous system and find that, you know, sense of peace, you know, versus like stressing yourself out and you know, overthinking it, right? Because, I mean, it's just, whether you're a player or goalie, I never played goalie position, obviously, but I would feel like a lot of the same type of approach is, like, the calmer you can be going into it, the looser you'll be, and you know, the less you'll be squeezing the stick. You know, talk about that mental mindset going into games.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for me, like, I go up in the stands before a game and just kind of take in the atmosphere, whether at home or on the road. I mean, this year is a little bit harder because they kind of blocked off the gates for us to kind of go to the stands so that fans can't give us high fives and stuff.
Right.
So I just sit on the bench and just kind of take in the atmosphere and just kind of take some deep breaths and do like a short 3 to 5 minute meditation.
Nice.
Before games, that helps me just kind of relax, mm-hmm. Get into more of a present state of mind. And then before games, like, just breath work. So for me, it's kind of the same as my meditation, just focusing on my breath.
Mm-hmm.
During a game, just, I'll get back to focusing on my breath if things are starting to overthink things a little bit too much, or starting to get worked up a little bit too much, just like you let in a goal or a bad goal or whatever. Just bring it back to my breath and just refocus.
Awesome, yeah. So
well,
so
see, Riggs, it's all
you. I've been
all
telling you, I've been telling you, the breath,
preaches,
right? I
mean, it's, preaches, yeah, it. I mean,
it's such easier said than done.
I know, exactly.
It's something that I've done for a long time, and something that I find helps me. And there's other things that guys do that help them, but something that's worked for me and something that I like.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's meaning breath work is ancient, right? And it's the simplest way to calm the nervous system, but it is practice, right? It takes practice like anything, right? And I think that this is going back to what I was saying. It's like, it's almost overlooked, these simplicities of calming the nervous system and managing stress and just helping guys be able to go into it more clear.
Well, especially even, I remember last year, like, when things weren't going too well, like, I kind of got away from all that.
Mm.
And I kind of got caught up in, like, thinking too much.
My right.
I was racing all the time. I wasn't sleeping at all.
Oh, man.
And so then I got back to meditation. I got back to focusing on my breath, just being more present, and I started to feel so much better at the rink, so much better in games. And
yeah.
Like, just felt more like myself and relaxed and started to get more sleep.
Yeah, it's right. It's all connected, eh? Yeah. So fundamental. Yeah.
So what was your, like, was it the first game that you did get called up, which, you know, obviously I remember, it was awesome, but what was your, like, welcome to the NHL moment? Was that it, or was it something else that sticks out in your mind?
I got a couple. I remember the one was my first game against Price.
Okay.
Montreal. Yeah. First game against Montreal was Niemi. So I was, like, hoping to play Price. And
yeah.
We beat Montreal. It was, like, right before the bye week. And then my second one was against Price. And it was in Montreal. I remember looking down at the ice and the other
crew. It must be like Carey Price, and I'm like, thing.
I just remember watching him all the time when he would come play the Oilers. And
right.
me and my dad would always go to that game. And a lot of times, I remember he wouldn't even play. It was like Peter Budaj or something. just our luck that he wouldn't play. But I've seen him a couple times as a kid growing up. And so to see him in the other net was pretty surreal. And I kind of got focused on that a little too much, and I got yanked that game. I let in, like, 3 on, like, 9 shots or something. I got lit up.
Oh.
So I kind of was in the wrong mindset, and Next time we played him around, like, I felt better. And he tapped me on the pads before the game.
Oh,
you were like 3-2 or something. Yeah. So felt a lot better.
That's awesome.
And I had another one against Ovi. And it was like, I think it was like maybe my third game playing against Ovi. And he skated by the net. I made a save on him or something. He's like, I'm fucking getting the next one on you. And I'm like, all right, whatever, buddy. Like, you wish.
Yeah.
And sure enough, one timer.
One tee.
Oh, yeah. Power spot. Play. Yeah, right around the
everybody
horn.
Everybody says, how does he score all the time
yeah.
from there?
Yeah.
Because it's gone. No one can see it when it comes off his stick, maybe. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. Like, and then he, like, skates by me and just stares me down. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, of course he is.
Oh, that's awesome. I can't imagine. It must be the coolest thing. Well, I mean, for you too, you played in the NHL, like, you know, the first time probably, you know, whoever you're looking at or whatever, but that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, talk about all this stuff. Any superstitions you have leading up to games?
I used to be really bad as like when I was younger, junior. Like, I remember the World Juniors a couple years ago. My last World Juniors, and I had to be the last guy off between periods and games. Do you remember that? I think we were playing Switzerland.
Yeah.
And they put their backup goalie on the ice to screw with me.
Yeah.
That, and so I'm just like, it's a standoff on the ice, and the Zamboni is almost done between the periods. Like,
come
like,
on.
There's like a lap left, and all the boys in the room were like, where the hell is Carter? Like, what's going on? And so then I go in, whatever. And the boys were like, what the hell are you doing? I was like, I got to be last off. Whatever. Like, we won that game. And then I think it was maybe semifinals or quarterfinals. And we played Switzerland again. And the first one was against Finland. And then we played Switzerland in the quarters. And they did that. They had, like, that quirky coach that year who, like, came into the finals saying, like, oh, you expect us to win? They're Canada.
Yeah, I remember.
And, so they kept their goalie out again. So I'm like standing there. I'm like, screw this. So I just hopped off. But then he hopped off. Then I hopped back out.
Nice.
Yeah. That's
and
awesome.
I was like, hey,
it's
like,
too much work.
Pretty, this is dumb. Like, this doesn't make me a better hockey player. This is just in my head. Like, it draws unwanted attention to myself, to the team.
Right.
This is dumb. So I gassed that one. Like, the only thing I really do is, like, I just do everything at, like, a certain time before a game. And that's really it. Like, I just do the same thing.
Yeah. How about watching Ellen before games?
Yeah, that's what I wore. Yeah, I mean, the boys chirp me.
Of course.
Why? Yeah. They say that. No, first of all, they say my hair looks like Ellen. So Jans always calls me Ellen. And so I went and bought this hoodie. I'm like,
oh, man.
So he loved it.
That's awesome. Great.
So, like, I'm playing. Sometimes I play sewer when I'm not playing. And he's like, oh, hit it to Ellen. And I'm like,
the haircut's the same. That's awesome.
She had frosty tips, though, right? Like, you know.
I don't have frosty tips.
Well, you did.
I might have better hair.
Yeah,
I think you do, actually.
So I got this. I watch her every game day. Like, I wake up at 3 for my pregame nap. She's on. When my last year junior, me and my roommate Riley Sutter, my billet, like, that's what my billet had on. Parks had that on.
So you got used to it.
I kept thinking he had Judge Judy on, but then it went into Ellen when we woke up, and we just watched it. And I was like, hey, we're winning games. Like, then when I turned pro, I just kind of kept that routine and just watched it. So I got them all recorded on my DVR.
There you go. That's awesome. Whatever works, just in case you miss one.
I got to tell you this, Ryle. So my 2000th game worked was in Edmonton, and it was his first time going home. And – you know, he was mad at me. His skates weren't dry that day. And he said, you know what? I know you have a big bonus. You know, you get this $500,000 bonus if you win your 2000th game worked. But my skates were fucked. I'm done. And I'm kidding. Right. But we go back to Edmonton. And you just one of those nights. It's a tough night all the way around. Not just on you. It was everything. But you did get to go back this year and grab the win there at home. That must have felt pretty good.
Yeah, that was the first time around, not so good for your 2000s game.
Yeah, but, so, you know, it was everybody. It wasn't just you. I was just kidding.
Like, oh, man, I was so nervous for that game. I felt like my first game again. I was so nervous. I had so many people coming. Probably had, like, 50 people coming.
Jeez.
I remember the day of the game, people are like, I haven't heard from them for years, or calling me and text me saying, hey, bro, like, hope you're well.
Hope you're well. Yeah, like, right. By the way.
Man, like, I haven't talked to you since high school. Like, sorry. Like, I didn't even reply. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
So the next time around, like I got lit up that game. It wasn't good. The next time around was this year because, like, we missed there with COVID and stuff. And so then this year I got the chance to go back again when things were normal and same thing, like, had a lot of people come. But my dad wasn't able to make it, which was too. He was out of town working. But it was, like, my mom, my auntie, my grandma, my other grandma, and then my best friend Nolan and his family. So I got the tickets together and saw them after the game and stuff. But just, like, going into this one felt more normal. Like, I felt like, okay, I've been here before. Like, I can do this. Like, I wasn't as nervous. And then I handled it better with the fact that a couple weeks prior, I just got all the stuff done for tickets and guest passes.
Smart,
so,
actually.
I just texted Brian. I texted my mom, like, hey, like, just find out who needs tickets or guest passes. We'll get it all done now so that we get there. Let's go and play. And we got a big dub there. So that was... that was pretty cool to get a win in front of family and friends.
For sure. It was awesome. It was really cool. Talk about your number, 79, because I remember Hexy coming to me. You had 79, and then he put you to 70 because of Holtby.
That was my jersey number, junior number.
Well, And I thought it was because of Holtby. I didn't know it was.
That is because of Holtby, too.
Oh, okay.
That's why I wore in junior.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And so I changed it, and he came in, and he saw his nameplate. You know, in the stall, I remember you're like, bro, I'm 79. I went, no, Hex changed. I'm 79, man.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know there's a great reason why, though.
Yeah, I mean, my first camp, they give, like, all the prospects high numbers, right? So, like, they don't expect you to keep them usually when you actually make it. So my first camp, I came back to Everett, and our first game, I think it was at home against Portland. And when I was 16, even 15, like, this family and their son, their Will, April, and their son Connor, would go to every single Tips game. Excuse me. And they wouldn't miss a home game. Sometimes they would go to road games, and then Connor would always be at the end of the tunnel, just, like, fist bumping the boys, like, saying what's up. And he's autistic. He's 11 years old now. So when I was my first year, he would have been 4.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Yeah, I think 4 years old. So. It's pretty crazy. Like, he's kind of, I've known him pretty much my whole life almost, or his whole life.
His whole life, yeah.
So then when I got back to camp, or back to Everett from my first camp, he knew that I had 79, so he got a Flyers jersey done up with Hart 79 on it. That's pretty cool. Like, that's the first Flyers Hart jersey I've ever seen.
Right.
So I told my parents about it. Like, oh, that's really cool. And so then when I got called up for my first game, I was like, oh, man, like, do I want 70 or, like, do I want to keep 79? Like, I'm like, Connor has this jersey. Like, that's probably the only Flyers jersey out there right now.
Yeah, right.
My name on it. I'm like, I gotta keep 79.
Gotta keep it.
Like,
yeah,
I gotta keep it for him. And I don't want him to change his jersey. I have to go pay some money to get it changed. So I kept 79, and they were actually just here 2 weeks ago. So they came
down.
That's
awesome.
Super cool.
They came to the game in Washington. Obviously, I got hurt, but got to go for lunch with them and catch up. And I haven't seen him in 2 years because of
COVID
and stuff. So he's playing goal.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Rocket 79.
He goes to my to Cliffy's camps, to my
brother. Oh, yeah. Oh,
super cool.
He goes to his camps, and he's laying the pillows down, and he loves it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, it's a meaningful story. I like to hear that. Shifting gears a little bit, you feeling a little risky? A baller just ordered a double cheese pizza. You want any of that?
We saw you that NHLPA thing where you're like, I'll eat if I feel a little risky. That's why I asked
you. Feel a lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. So it's a funny story. I'm actually not lactose intolerant, so I thought I was. It's like that interview or whatever. I was like, yeah, I'll have it if I'm, like, feeling risky. Or if I don't give a shit, like, I'll eat it. But I'm with my buddies.
Yeah.
So this year, like, I had some really bad stomach pain. I'm like, what the hell is going on? For, like, the first, probably, like, I don't know, month of November, like, my stomach's killing me. But we're playing really well, and we're winning. And all the boys are like, because I kept, like, my stomach, I'm telling them, like, I can't barely stand up sometimes. They're like, well, whatever you're doing, it's working because we're winning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh,
don't worry about your health.
Yeah, right.
Don't worry about your health. I
feel like a bag of shit.
I'm like, man, like, sometimes I can't even stand up. That one game we won in Carolina, I think we won 2-1. And the first 10 minutes of the period, I could barely stand up. And I remember I was like, please don't shoot on me. Please don't shoot on me. and they dumped a puck in on me from like the red line, and I was like the first shot, and I went like this to catch it because like I could barely move. It's like, what the hell is going on? And the boys are gonna laugh when they hear about this. Like they found out. It's like I drink a lot of water on game days. I like to be hydrated. I probably drink on average 12 to 15, 16 bottles of water on a game day. So like quite a lot. But what I didn't know is I was mixing BioSteel with every single bottle of water.
Oh, wow.
So I'm drinking you told me that.
I'm drinking like 15, 16 packs of BioSteel a day.
Oh.
And I'm like, even on non-game days, I'm still crushing like 10 or 12. I'm like, I don't know what's in there. Like, it's supposed to be no artificial flavors or whatever.
Yeah.
But my stomach is just killing me. And I went and got tests. So I went and gave a stool sample. I got like an allergy test done or whatever. And so I went and got all that stuff done. And I'm like, maybe I'm celiac. I'm like, something's going on. And so I'm not celiac. I'm like, thank God.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, hey, you're not lactose. I'm like, really?
Like, I crush some pizza. Yeah,
I haven't been eating really cheese or dairy. Like, I switched to like oat milk and stuff. And so I haven't really been consuming dairy for the last couple of years. I'm like, yeah, you're not. Like, I'm like, okay, like, what else do you think could be going on? I'm like, I don't know, just like maybe. Like, stick to your normal diet and just see if it gets better in the next few days or whatever. And if it keeps getting worse or doesn't get any better, like, we'll do some more tests. We might have to scope you. I was like, oh, man, I do not want to do that.
Yeah. No thanks.
So, I'm like, hey, like, what could be going on? And one of our guys was like, hey, like, I noticed you drink a ton of BioSteel. It was like Dan or Derek, one of our strength guys. I'm like, yeah, like, I'm just trying to stay hydrated. Crush those electrolytes, you know, like,
yeah.
Always. And I read in the Tom Brady book that he always has electrolytes with his water, so I'm like, perfect, I'm gonna do that. But there's all this other stuff in there too that I didn't really know, so I'm drinking BioSteel like with every single water that I'm having.
My God.
For like probably the span of like I did it all summer, so like,
right,
it's just building up,
right, right.
Like, my stomach like just couldn't handle it, so I went off BioSteel. Like, this is funny, I went off BioSteel for like a week and like I felt normal.
Wow. So,
like, all the boys are like, hey, you're not as gassy or whatever. I'm like, so they're loving it because my stallmates.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. It's incredible.
Like, so, like, I felt way better. So, like, I just stopped drinking BioSteel, and I'm like, oh, my God, I feel so much better.
And you can eat a pizza.
So, like, Hazy, so we're in Washington, and I'm telling Hazy, I'm like, he's having, like, Alfredo or something. He's like, come on, go have some. I'm like, nah, you know me. I'm lactose. Like, I can't do that. He's like, because I told him I have my test results. He's like, I guarantee you. He's like, I bet you a dinner. It's like, if you're not lactose intolerant, you're buying me dinner, and we're going to eat all the cheese and pizza or all the shit that you can think of. And I'm like, all right, like, I know I'm going to be lactose, like, after my stomach. And then I came back, and he's like, what did I tell you?
Wow.
What did I tell you? Because he's like, I always think the worst. He's like, I'm like a hypochondriac a little bit.
Yeah.
So, like, he's like, you're definitely not lactose. And came back, I'm not lactose. I took him and Jans to dinner at Barclay Prime and did steak, mac and cheese.
Yeah. There you go, yeah. Cheese, yeah.
Did it up. Mac and cheese, whatever, and had all the cheese in the world. And so.
And his awesome. Stomach felt fine?
That was fine. Yeah,
yeah,
was
wow. Fine. What a discovery, though.
I know, right?
So have you gone back on the BioSteel since then? A little bit?
Back to BioSteel.
Yeah, just like half the amount?
On a game, I don't drink it on a non-game day, but on a regular game day, I do just one a period.
Okay. And totally fine.
Yeah, I'm fine now. So,
wow, what a discovery,
so,
though.
So all the boys are calling me BioSteel Butt.
So there was a lot of gas that came along with this then, obviously, right?
BioSteel Butt.
Yeah.
That's good nickname, Sarnsy. Oh, my God, that's great. Wow.
So the moral of the story is just don't consume 16 bottles of BioSteel.
Basically.
Yeah, just stick to three.
Stick to three. Yeah, three on game days. D-Bo, write that down.
Yeah. That's a nice little tip.
Oh,
we wanted to ask you about G. I mean, obviously, every guest we've had, we talk about G, amazing leader. You had an opportunity to play with him the last 4 years. Thoughts on, well, his departure and the vibe since his departure?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of knew what was happening in the last little stretch prior to he got traded there. It was definitely tough, like, to see him go. He's a Philly icon.
Yeah.
When you think of the Flyers, like, you think of Claude Giroux.
Yes.
A Flyer forever. He always will be. But, I mean, just the way our team was going right now this season, obviously there wasn't a chance for him to have success. So for him to go and, you know, on the last year of his deal, go somewhere where he's got a shot to win a cup, he deserves it.
100%.
He works hard. He's a great leader. He's a good teammate and a good friend. So I hope Florida wins it. I really do.
Yeah.
We got a good team there, and he's done really well since he's been there. So I hope they go all the way and he can win some hardware.
Yeah, no doubt.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, so it's tough, but I mean, emotional last night there for his 1,000th game, and it was just nice that we could send him off on a high note and get a win there for him. And but no, we wish him well, and we're all cheering for him.
Yeah, it's funny how many people are like, I watch Florida so much now, you know, because of G, and they're Flyer fans, but you know, obviously you're pulling for Claude because you know.
So is that your Stanley Cup prediction then? Is that who you're going for, or is that just based on
so.
G? Yeah,
I hope so. I hope they do.
Yeah, me too.
Hope Bob will be laying them down.
Yeah,
pipes there for him, and
yeah.
Yeah, I hope they can.
Oh, Bob.
Well, they can score, those guys. My God.
Four goals a game.
My gosh. On a shortage of goals.
Right now, they're heating up.
They are.
Yeah. It'd be interesting how it plays out.
Who's your pick for the heart? No pun intended.
I got to go with my boy, Austin, there.
Okay.
He's lighting it up. I hope he...
Yeah,
60.
He
for
is
sure.
lighting it up.
Oh,
comes
my
back
God.
He plays these last five games.
He's
insane.
60, no problem.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, we talked
what
about
what a player.
That.
Hey, what
God.
A.
It's like he scores every night. Yeah. He feels like he scores every night, like he plays. But
yeah, it's impressive.
We were playing there the other night, he texted me. He's like, come on, bro, please let me get one.
Yeah.
He pushed a 6-2 or whatever, 6-1. And
come on, bro.
He's got the one where Marner went around me and like I was swimming.
Oh, right, right.
Like, tap in on the empty net. I was like, oh, come on, man. Like
a slash back of the legs there. Yeah. What a player, though. That's a pretty good pick, though.
Yeah, no doubt. I was going to ask you, I read somewhere about your goalie, your style of playing goalie. And I've never heard this before. I've obviously heard of Butterfly. But they mentioned a reactive blocking technique. Is that actually a term used for goalies?
I mean, maybe a little bit. I mean, for me, like, I don't want to just kind of, like, go down and just be solid, like, rigid in the net. You look at some of the guys back in the day when they had huge chesties like J.S. Shigeru.
Right.
Like, Garth Snow. Yeah. He was here.
Yeah. So they had those big chesties, and then now we're a little bit more streamlined with our equipment. So you got to be able to react, and you got to be able to block, but there's like a mix where you got to know the right time. And sometimes a guy just call it a shift. So like if I'm down in my block and a guy's trying to go top glove or like maybe even glove side, like I'm down in my blocking area and I'll just kind of shift into it. So like I know it's coming this way, but I can shift into it. Like my favorite save of all time is just a blocker side shift. It's like, okay, I tracked it well, but I don't need to like react
overextend
get there on my blocker. So I let my body, I just let it come to me and just shift into it. And like when you make that save, it's like
you
feel
so good.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, then Dilly loves that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then you have my son who picks it up off the ice and then windmills it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like he made a sick glove save. That's what you guys start
Smith.
Doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Windmill Wednesday.
Gotta have the drama.
Oh, he's got a good glove handle.
Oh, man.
So I guess like the opposite would just be like the traditional would just be like letting the puck, like making yourself so big that the puck comes to you. Is that like explain to me or and the audience a little bit the difference, because I'm still a little bit confused on that term, because I feel like playing goalie is instinctive, like at some point, right? I mean, you have to be reactive.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's like a certain point where like, okay, like I'm not going to be able to react to this puck. Like let's say there's a puck shot from the point and it doesn't exactly get to you. It might hit a body in front, and the puck's just kind of laying there in front of you, like a foot in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a point where the puck's so close to you that you're just going to make yourself big with no holes. Like, that puck's got nowhere to go.
Right.
Right? I mean, even on redirects from the point or stuff like that, like, you just want to make sure that you try and cover up as much net as you can, get on your angle, and have no holes. Whereas sometimes, like, a puck, let's say, from the slot, like, the biggest thing is you want to just try and read the release as best as you can, because a puck traveling at 80 miles an hour from 10 feet away is like pretty hard to track. Like, I mean, for me, I think tracking is a huge part of my game, but it starts with the release. Like, you need to be able to read that release.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. You see any of LB's
LV style and Carter style?
That's only his jump before the game starts. Oh, yeah. I love the jump.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're going to send him to Cliffy. We're going to send him to Cliffy maybe, and then we'll get some help. When did you start with Shane Clifford?
Yeah, so Shane Clifford was in Everett when I got there, when I got drafted. So I got drafted there when I was 14. I was like, just this little whippersnapper. And, so, yeah, I got drafted there. My first camp with him, I was 15. Played a couple games that year with him and with the boys there. And then so I was with him my whole junior career. And
yeah.
He's from Pittsburgh. So
right.
Ever since, like, he just comes down, like, when he's got time, because he's busy with Sioux City and with the Erie Otters. And so he's a busy dude. So when he's got time, he comes down and just hangs out and keeps me company. And, I mean, like, this week's perfect where the boys are on the road. And I'm back with an injury, so he just came and hung out and just have a good time.
Well, we're gonna interview with him hopefully this week, because you were only 4 hours late today, so I don't know if we can sneak it in today, but I'm kidding. But we do want to pick his brain a lot about you and about goaltending in general. Like, he gave me a little rundown yesterday. I was asking him some questions about the post and
would
you tell me the reverse VH? Is that what I'm dealing with now, Cliff? Okay, good. See, I learned something.
Yeah.
Except I didn't know what the hell he was talking about when he was telling you did, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's awesome. You've been, you know, you have a friend like that, and he's one of your best friends, and you've worked with him for so long. It's cool to have someone you could call. And, you know, like, obviously you have a goaltending coach here, but it's nice that you have a friend, maybe if you questions or whatever, lean on a guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky. I got Shane, Dilly here, and then my guy Dustin Schwartz back home. And, I mean, all of them are awesome at what they do. They're great friends of mine. Me and Cliffy, or my whole junior career together.
Yeah.
And then now here, I'm lucky that he's so close. He's just in Pittsburgh.
Awesome.
So, no, he's a great friend and a great coach. And I'm lucky to have him in my life for sure.
So – let me get this straight. Cliff, when I send Elvy to Cliffy, he's going to be in the NHL by the time he's 20? Is that what we're saying here? Is that what we're saying?
There's a really good chance.
Listen, just kidding. You're like, he's going nowhere, but I'm just kidding. But I do. I'm just messing around. He's 7. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. So we do a lot of stuff with the Philadelphia Warriors, obviously, and you were tremendous with those guys. You met a lot of them, and you came out for the game where, sorry, Marshy, we won.
Yeah, we
he
did.
He was 7-2. Sorry, Duff Daddy. He was upset. The Duff Daddy was upset. Yeah. No, they're awesome guys. Very close with all of them. But we did a mask, which we are you helped design. Basically, you designed it. If you want to kind of tell us about it. And
yeah, it was me and Franny did that one.
Yep, Franny from Paint Zoo.
Got the Nasty Knuckles there at the top. And then on the back, we got the Warriors and the Knuckles logo and the cross that I always have. And so, like, obviously my AC/DC mask this year we had.
Yeah.
Or I had.
Cool mask.
One of my favorite masks I've ever had done. And
it's super rad.
I wanted to do kind of a similar thing with Angus on the side and on each side. And then
got the curly lip.
My letters. Oh, yeah. Or my last name there in the ACD style letters. And
that's a really perfect cool.
Super rad,
It's such a cool mask. So
it's turned out unreal. And Franny is the best.
Oh, yeah, Franny is.
Such great
so
work.
Good. And so we're auctioning this off. More details later, but it's going for the Warriors. And it was really sweet. Cool of you to do that for those guys. And you know, maybe we do something later on down the road, you know, something different. But it's really cool. And I said, we're going to.
Yeah, it's super, super rad. Happy the way it turned out. And obviously, you're a big music guy. I mean, AC/DC, who else is on top of your list there?
Yeah, AC/DC. I like punk rock, like Green Day.
Oh, yeah, right on.
Because I think Sum 41 and Simple Plan are coming.
Yeah, cool.
Gotta call Jeff bands. Gordon. Gordo.
Gordo.
Gotta go check them out. Like, I know my dad just kind of got me into that when I was young. We'd go to hockey practice, and he was blasting Nickelback or Seether.
Oh, wow.
So he was always blasting tunes in the truck, and we would always just blast it so loud. And
is he not a country guy?
He likes country a little bit.
But he's
Zach
more,
Brown
he's
band
more,
he likes,
yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
Mostly just rock.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like his Creed. He loves Creed.
Oh, okay. Because I feel like people out west seem to really be into country. Like,
I love
country.
Around,
oh,
yeah.
You do?
I love rock and country.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite genres, for sure.
Country kind of gives me makes me a nervous twitch.
Yeah.
Worse than I already am. Yeah, but I can listen
like
to
perfect when you're on the golf course having a couple beers. Like,
well, we're talking about Willie Walker. What are we talking about?
Willie Walker.
You know, that's yeah. Chiefs guy. That's a Willie
Walker. Willie
Walker Jr. We won't get into that. No. But it's not bad listening music if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool, the music thing, and you know, you've been playing guitar. You put a little concert on here a couple Christmases ago.
Oh, no, I'm not very good, but
you've gotten a lot better.
I've gotten better. Like, I picked it up my second last year in junior, and then I started going to lessons, and that really helped. And after my first year pro, actually, I started going to a class. It was like an adult music class, so
that's rad.
I'd go twice a week, and so that really helped a lot too. And now I just kind of fiddle around with it
when
I'm at home and just play it around.
You got it
brought
fixed.
Out the guitar there.
I told him I was going to bring the guitars up.
We're going to put you on the spot.
I don't play in front of anybody.
You know? Oh,
man. You played down in Elvie's, in his studio.
yeah, right. Yeah, loosen up a little bit. Not quite ready for the public performances.
Sing us a song tonight.
Yeah. We'll serenade.
Play at the same time, man. Not that talented.
I got a quick question for you. What's your, I don't think I've ever asked you this, is you know, long as I've known you, but what's your favorite rink in NHL playing?
Favorite rink, probably United Center, Chicago.
Good call.
Yeah.
So, my first time I played there was like, you know, their national anthem where it's so loud.
Yes.
Fans are screaming at the top of their lungs. Just kind of, it gives you goosebumps.
It does.
When you're standing there and just the history there and you're playing an original six team.
Yep.
I think that's.
That is
by far my favorite
building. That is an awesome building, man. Like, that never gets old, eh, Riggs? The national anthem there just doesn't get old. I don't care if you play there. It can't get old. It's the coolest thing.
Goosebumps, yeah.
It's the coolest
It's powerful
thing.
Stuff. Now, going in the off season, maybe playing a little golf. How's your golf game?
Yeah, once I get healthy, definitely. Like, I love golf in the summer and tennis. Me and my buddies play a lot. We got into tennis when COVID first hit. So we play matches all the time, like once or twice a week. Actually, when I was home for the bye week there this year, we played, and me and my buddy Nolan Vulcan, shout out Nolan Vulcan.
What's up, Nolzy? Yeah.
We played tennis, and so I crushed him in the summer. He didn't even win a game. And then he beat the one time I'm home during the season, and he beat me on like the seventh set. It was like the tiebreaker set. And so he's like, just rubbing it in. He's like, oh man, like I was a summer champ. He's the winter champ. Like, now, like, he's just been rubbing into me. He's like, can't wait for like that next round. I'm like, oh man, I can't wait to play him.
You got to start practicing, bro.
Yeah.
Well, you can't right now when you're healthy.
And then in the summer we do. So like my dad, Nolan, Nolan's dad, like Nolan's dad, Marty, and my dad, John, they played together at the college level in Canada. So they've known each other for a really long time. They're really good
That's
friends.
So cool, yeah.
That's kind of how I got to know Nolan from him and from playing spring hockey together. And so we've grown up with each other for probably since we're like 11, 12 years old.
Wow.
So he's my best buddy. And in the summers, usually on the weekends, like during the week, keep it tight, working out, doing everything I can. And then on the weekends, we love to play golf. So on usually Saturdays, we play at Colonial Golf Course in Beaumont, Alberta.
Well, you should get a free membership now, just for mentioning.
Yeah,
that.
Maybe.
But, right, a little plug.
Oh, so this course, it's like it's a fun course. Like we go, so it's myself, Nolan, his dad, and my dad, and we just do 2v2.
You'd
so.
Take a cooler Purple Passion.
We do. We have
a little jungle juice. Yeah.
He can't drink that. There's a story behind that. But anyway,
we got the RPDs. We drink the RPDs, which is a. It's a hometown, home course drink. That
all right.
Yeah, I know. I had one. I had one the other night. I enjoyed it. I had one the other night.
But no, so we go and we play. There's so much shit talking going on.
Yeah.
Like, I get in my dad's face. I'm getting in Marty's face. No one's getting in my dad's face, chirping him, and like got the wobbly knees making the putt. And, so like we get into it, and it's so much fun. And my dad is like he used to be a scratch golfer, and he's like a 2 handicap now.
Wow.
So he's like,
I didn't know he was that good.
He's a really good golfer.
Wow.
So we haven't beat him yet. So like that's their like claim to fame is Ooh. Every summer they just chirp the shit out of us.
They're just shit-kicking you guys.
Yeah. And time's coming.
Smacking them around
yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, so they haven't we haven't beat them yet, which is too bad. But this summer, like,
this is it. This is the summer.
We're gonna kill them. The one time this summer or last summer, we were up like I think 4-0, and we play the first 9 holes. You play your own ball. We play best ball, and then the last 9 we just play scramble. So 2-man scramble, 2v2. So yeah, it gets intense.
Yeah.
So the one, it was like one of our last matches. We're up 4. We're like, fuck, we're mopping these guys up and down the course right now. And then we laid off the gas a little bit. They came back. It's 4-4. There's like 2 holes left. My dad, it's a par 3. My dad puts one from like, I don't know, 3 feet away. We're like, oh my God. Me and Nolan put ours in the water. Jeez. It's over.
Like, nighty done. Night.
Oh, we're man.
Done. So it's just like, man. So we got to get him this summer. That's for sure.
We got to play in it. We played a few times together. Your swing that I have, we will post this. It is
you got
the most,
a video of my swing.
Oh yeah, he's been talking it up all day.
Amazing.
I got a long swing.
Yeah. His club, your club, almost touches your feet when you bring it back.
I got to work on shortening it up a little bit.
I know. Well, kind of like
Ken Hitchcock's.
I thought you were gonna say yours. No, and it's not like Hitch's either. Hitch didn't quite get that club back, but Hitch. I'll tell you that story one day. Hitch put about a 9 up, and Homer said, we're playing first hole. He literally hit the ball right. He hit it left. And couldn't find it. I'm
just
like,
going back and forth.
Let me help. I said, Hitch, let me give you a hand. And he goes, I got it, young Derek. Don't worry. Oh, here it is. Right on the fringe. Like, yeah. The ball went 30 yards into the
Invisi drop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so he probably got a 9 on the hole. And so Homer's like writing down because, you know, we're playing. And he goes, Hitch, what'd you get there? He goes, put me down. It was a par four. He goes, put me down for a 5. And he goes, what? Homer goes, are you out of your fucking... You hit the ball 8 times at least. Yeah, he's telling me. He never even finished the putt either. He just picked it up.
Oh, man.
12-foot putt. Yeah, it's good. It's good. But anyway, I was going to say, your swing's amazing. And when you do hit it straight, this thing goes forever, bro.
When I connect, which is like 1 out of 5. So
I don't think it's that bad, bro.
So I got to work on shortening it up.
But, yeah. Well, you should see this. You should take some lessons with this guy. He's that dude that aims 90 degrees this way. So
just
his
to
ball
pull it around.
To pull it around. Yeah, it's just like, I would call it a face.
Playing a slice.
I would call it a
face. Sounds like I'm actually trying to do that. Yeah.
Playing a slice.
Oh, my God. Man, it's ugly. No.
But I'll tell you what, you do crush the ball.
Yeah, we gotta get my dad and Marty this summer. It'll be on. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Before we let you go here, I know you got stuff going on. Being in Philly, Philly's obviously extremely passionate about their Flyers. What's your most favorite thing around Philly and what this city offers Flyers fans?
I love playing here. The fans are great. They're passionate. They love to see us win. They hate to see us lose. So, yeah. I mean, sometimes it can be tough when you're losing and they're booing you off the ice, but, I mean, they care. So, as a player, you don't want fans that are cheering for you when you're not doing well.
Right.
They're just kind of phony or fake. So they're true, they're honest, and they just want to see you win, and they're behind you all the way. So as players, we love that. We love playing in front of them. And I know when other teams come into our arena and they get on you, it's definitely an advantage for us.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I can't wait until you get to actually experience the playoffs here.
Oh, yeah. Home playoff game.
You know, we went to the finals.
Yeah.
His last year that he played, it was wild. I mean, you've played at home when they're going nuts. This was just a different level of nuts. It was crazy.
Yeah,
it was awesome. It was like, it gave you chills just being a pigeon like me standing on the bench, watching the game. But it's like the place just so loud. It's awesome. So hopefully you get to experience that very, very soon, which I think you will.
Hopefully next year.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the plan. Well, we appreciate you coming out, spending some time with us.
Yes.
Yeah,
this has been awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Man, appreciate it so much, buddy. Awesome guy. Nice. Awesome player.
Yeah, man.
Twice.
Yeah, man.
Get appreciate well, you. Yeah, and thank you.
Yeah, no, not a problem. Thanks
appreciate
for having
it.
Guys.
All right.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Are you ready for playoff hockey? Well, listen up, because I've got something for you. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of the questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. Simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total for the game is going to go over or under a certain amount, and the strategy doesn't stop there. Next up, you're picking which player is going to light the lamp first, and finally, you got to predict which period in the game is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That is all up to you. Now let's talk prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. That's right. Treat yourself to some nation gear or even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the round winners, cash money. Cold, hard cash. We're putting real dough in your pockets simply for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. It's game time, folks. Head over to games.dailyfaceoff.com now and prove your puck prowess.